You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Game day, Browns and the Bills. And OBM, Ohio Business Machines, is a preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns, and they know every day's game day in your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com today. We go to the OBM hotline right now, and we welcome in Joe Biscaglia, the Bills beat reporter for the flagship of Bills football, WGR Radio in Buffalo. Joe, welcome to the show. What are you looking forward to the most here in this game, which is an interesting one coming off of 2 days of joint practices?
Well, what I'm looking forward to most is, from a Bills perspective, is exactly how Tyrod Taylor does against the first-team defense, because this is really his biggest opportunity of his career to try and get himself a starting gig in the NFL. And, you know, he never really had any type of week like this. Rex Ryan, watermarked this week for him to be to really take the first team reps, go up against an opposite team for 3 days and see exactly what he has. And if he shows enough tonight, I think that that could help them perhaps extend the competition even further. And if he doesn't have a solid performance, maybe that makes their job a little bit easier with thinking, all right, maybe we'll just go into this season with Matt Castle. So that's the number one thing I'm looking at. And then of course, I want to see how the once they get to a game setting, I want to see exactly how the defensive line of the Bills does against the offensive line of Browns, because those are two very potent units.
They definitely are, Joe. And one other question, and it's a point of interest for Tyrod Taylor and his performance tonight. Who's going to be available for Tyrod Taylor tonight? Obviously, no Shady McCoy. You know, most likely no Sammy Watkins. That second practice on Tuesday evening, a lot of Bills were held out as well as Browns. So who's going to participate both offensively and defensively for this team?
Well, none of the five running backs that the Bills started training camp with will be playing in this game.
Wow.
LeSean McCoy, Carlos Williams, Fred Jackson, Booby Dixon, and Blake Brown, all injured, all will not play. Their top four receivers likely won't be playing. I mean, Sammy Watkins was held out of practice with tightness in his gluteal muscle, there's a chance he doesn't play. Robert Woods was held out with tightness on Tuesday night as well. Percy Harvin has a hip issue that he's been dealing with for a long time now, and he's been sitting out for a while. They're hoping he's back by the Pittsburgh game next week. Marcus Easley, their fourth receiver, he's out, too, with a knee injury that he suffered against the Carolina Panthers in their first preseason game. So what do they have? At running back, they have Bronson Hill, Samuel Ricky Seal, and Sierre Wood. At wide receiver, they have Deontay Thompson, Marquise Goodwin, Chris Hogan, and Andre Davis. So that's what he's got to throw to.
So not a lot on offense, but this Bills, they do have one of the great defenses in the NFL, especially up front. I think this is going to be a big challenge for the Browns and a matchup of a great defensive line and a very good offensive line. Do you expect any chippiness coming out of those joint practices? Because it seemed like towards the end, started to get a little bit tense, and I was excited to see them go live tonight.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to see it from the Bills defense to the Browns offense.
But certainly the other way.
The other way, yeah, because Cordy Glenn and Billy Wynn started to get into it a little bit at the end of the practice on Tuesday. So I'm interested to see that. Plus, you know, Danny Shelton seemed to get the better of quite a few opponents. Eric Wood being one of them, John Miller, the rookie right guard, being another. So I think there could be some chippiness there, especially with the Bills trying to establish themselves on their offensive line and really being unable to do so last year, and so they want to change that sort of stigma about them.
Joe, another player that I'm going to have my eyes on tonight, and I just want your input on how camp has been and his role in this offense, is Charles Clay. He was a guy that was on the Browns, radar in free agency, ultimately choosing significant amount more money there in Buffalo. How has he fit in, and is he a guy that could help bridge, no weapons for Tyrod Taylor and turn it into a positive performance tonight?
Yeah, I think so. I think he is definitely the guy that they're going to be looking to. I don't know how much he'll be used today. I don't know if they're going to try and push their luck by having one of their starters out there, their starting skill players out there with Charles Clay, but he has been getting a lot more involved more recently. And really early on in camp, it was it was kind of a thing there that we did not see him get targeted all that much during team drills and get a lot of passes thrown his way. Yeah, but recently they have gotten, I think it's since they've been installing more and more plays, they've been getting him more involved, and we've seen him split out wide. We've seen him, you know, attached to the offensive tackle. So they're going to be doing quite a lot with Charles Clay. And certainly, as we all know, tight end is the security blanket for a quarterback, and especially a quarterback situation that doesn't exactly have someone that can really take the reins here. So I think we could see a nice little impact from Charles Clay tonight.
Charles Clay, the prize free agent tight end from Miami last year, staying in his division. Now, when you look at this quarterback competition, you talked about this being a big opportunity for Tyrod Taylor. How much of a competition do you think it is? How close is it? And do you think it's Castle's job right now? If the season were starting today, how open is this?
Yeah, I think it's Castle's job to lose right now. I think Taylor really has to come in and have a big night against the Cleveland Browns, because you can't try and approach a regular season with trying to give three separate guys reps with the ones. It just doesn't work that way. Eventually, you need to start preparing for regular season. You need to start preparing for the Indianapolis Colts game planning. And that's going to start pretty quickly here. Once they get through this Browns preseason game, you get into the third preseason game, and before you know it, that first week of the season is right around the corner. So I think at the very least, they need to minimize this competition to two people. But I think if Taylor doesn't have a great night, or if he shows, you know, some inconsistencies, maybe throws an interception that is completely his fault, maybe at that point they're going to go, all right, well, let's just settle in on Matt Castle and start to prepare for the regular season. As for EJ Manuel, I don't think he's got a shot in this thing. I think it's a very, very, very slim percentage that he wins the job.
Is he going to be on the roster, EJ Manuel, or is he going to be out of a job?
That's a great question, and I think the thing they have to debate amongst themselves is it worth it to have that player with that kind of, I guess he carries the first round pick reputation, and if he is a third quarterback on a roster that can't beat out Matt Castle or Tyrod Taylor for one of the top two spots, is it worth it to them to have that, I guess, headache on their roster to say, all right, this is a failed draft pick here. He's in his third year. He should be getting it by now, and he hasn't. So they really have to look in the mirror and say, okay, what do we want to do with this guy? They're not going to save anything on the cap by cutting him this year, but they could save face more than anything. And really, it also depends if they want to keep three quarterbacks on the roster in itself. So if they decide against it, then I think there is a chance that they could cut him. But it's not as though it's an unprecedented situation, because the Vikings last year had Christian Ponder as their third-string quarterback, although they had that blow kind of curtailed a little bit because they drafted a first-round pick as Teddy Bridgewater, so they could kind of hide Christian Ponder. There's no hiding EJ Manuel in Buffalo, that's for sure.
No, there certainly is. I talked with Joe Biscaglia, who covers the Bills. Joe, when we talked about the quarterbacks, but the running backs, you mentioned it, all top five guys out. Are you surprised that they haven't kicked the tires on an Ahmad Bradshaw, or even, we know Ray Rice was discussed, but they decided not to go in that direction, bringing in a veteran just to get you through the preseason? Because it sounds like LeSean McCoy is hopeful to return for week one. What's the status with Fred Jackson and Bryce Brown and Booby Dixon, et cetera?
Yeah, Fred Jackson, they're hoping to get him back by Pittsburgh. Same thing with Booby Dixon. Bryce Brown, we don't know the extent of his hamstring injury, but, you know, you always figure a week or two for hamstrings at least. McCoy obviously won't be back until the regular season starts up. Carlos Williams was hospitalized, then had a medical procedure that they won't exactly tell us what it is. So he's gone for a couple of weeks at least, and he was the guy that was really impressing a lot of people in camp. So I think they're satisfied at the moment because they think they're going to get at least one or two of these guys back within the next week or so. But, you know, you still have Bronson Hill, Ricky Seal, and Sierre Wood as your three running backs heading into tonight. And what can you do on offense if you just have three undrafted free agent rookies, you know, just taking all the carries when you know for a fact they will not be on your roster come September?
Especially with the largest running game playbook in the history of mankind.
Yeah, I know. They probably have to simplify that thing from 800 plays to about three.
Right. When you watched the Browns in practice, kind of flipped this on you, what was the thing that you came away the most impressed with this Browns team? And if you were a Browns fan, what's the thing that would have you the most concerned?
The thing that had me the most concerned for them is the play of their secondary. And I know Joe Hayden was out. I know they're missing some pieces as well.
Everybody, unfortunately.
Justin Gilbert did not have himself a nice little joint practice. Not impressed by him. I think the Browns are, the wicked sisters of the Bills, because the quarterback situation is an obvious question mark. You don't exactly know what you're going to get from Josh McCown this year. Whether or not John Manziel can come through for them, that's an obvious spot to look to. But on the upside, I really, really like their offensive line. I think Joel Bitonio is a great player. I loved him when he was coming out of Nevada. I know the Bills really liked him, and if they could have got their hands on him, they would have. But they obviously not. And I also really like Danny Shelton, to be honest. I thought he was just tearing through the line of scrimmage. There was a couple of plays that he just made Eric Wood look silly.
And that's
an established veteran. Yeah, he's a huge guy, and he might be the thickest human being I've ever seen in my life.
Those legs they're immense. Yes. Well, Joe, it certainly will be. NFL.com, by the way, I don't know if you saw this, is calling this the best preseason game of the year.
Wow. Well,
they are looking forward to this one more than any other. I don't know why exactly, but they are.
They must have read a scouting report on Ricky Seal and be like, hey, you know what? This guy, he's gonna run because he only has 50 career carries in college. He's going to get about 50 tonight. So.
He might. Joe Buscaglia, our guest. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you down at the game as you cover it tonight. The Browns and the Bills, 8 o'clock again. National television, folks, ESPN. And he's, of course, the Bills beat reporter for the flagship of Buffalo Bills football, WGR Radio in Buffalo. Thanks so much, Joe.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you. When we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines as well. 216-578-0850. Stock up, step up. Matt and I will give those as well. We've got the Thursday forecast still to come. And then, of course, we're going to wrap things up with the Gribbs, what he's looking forward to. Browns and Bills tonight. What's up, man?